Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
Listen, things don't happen without prayer. So we need people to pray. All right, turn to your neighbors. Say, you ready? Because I got 30 minutes to try to give a 45-minute sermon and do communion. So does everybody have communion? I'm going to need some. We're going to do communion in a bit, but if people could make sure you have communion now, that would speed up time. So everybody stretch your hands toward me and say, Lord, help him. All right. Whew. Well, listen, I want to cover a topic I'll probably start today. You've heard it before, but I feel like this is a topic that we could move. There are so many realms of revelation in this topic. It's incredible. And I feel like things have been opening up more and more. And so I'm just trying to collect my thoughts because it's already been such a good morning. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hey, guys, make sure you come out to the encounter night. We've set these nights up for God to move, and it was so awesome even for today to God for God to move. And I believe Friday, we're just building. Just building. Getting closer to the heart of God and seeing God do more things. All right. Turn to your Bibles. I'd like you guys to make sure you're flipping with me. It's really important to read or get your phone app, Bible app open. If you don't have the Bible app, it's a great app to get. What's it online? Bible Hub? No. YouVersion. Thank you. YouVersion. YouVersion is a great app. It's got so many different, it's even got the Passion Translation in it. It's got everything, so it's awesome. Turn to Genesis, a place we've been many times. You said turn to Genesis. Well, I was going there. I want to talk to you today. Again, this is going to continually unfold. Something I've never seen before as we've talked in Genesis. We know the story well because as a church, we go there all the time. But we have to realize if we want to know where we're supposed to be today, we got to go back and look where God wanted us before. Right? He wanted us in the garden. He wanted us to have a place with him that was so incredible. And I don't know about you, but I know that I'm not there. Anybody else want to admit? I'm a work in progress. Tell your neighbor, if you don't realize it, you're a work in progress. And if you don't realize it, you're lying. Therefore, you're a work in progress. You just proved my point. Listen, we're all going from glory to glory. We're all moving from glory to glory. We're all trying to pursue him, get more of him. And it's not less of us. It's the less of the us that shouldn't be in there in the first place. Because a lot of times when we say that, we say less of us. We think, well, he created me and now he doesn't want any part of me. No, he wants you. But how many know that there's a side to you that doesn't always, like, aren't we sometimes embarrassed at the side that comes out when we're frustrated, angry? Anybody? Yeah. There's a side and you're like, I cannot believe that side. It's like the Incredible Hulk or Jekyll and Hyde. You know, you're like, how did that side come out again? I thought I had that thing conquered. You know, it could be in a moment with your wife. It could be with your kids. It could be that person that cuts you off on the road, right? You're the most peaceful person in the world, and somebody cuts you off, and then you become like a totally different person, and you're talking to your wife about pulling that person over and beating them up. And they're like, who are you? Last summer, two summers ago, my daughter Erin and I were driving down number 3, and somebody almost killed us. And literally was passing when cars were coming right in front of them. And as I saw them pass, it was a young person and pulled in just in time. But I realized if that person would have missed it by literally milliseconds, it would have been a chain reaction. We all probably would have been dead. And I saw as he was driving, his girlfriend just hitting him like so angry. And then a few minutes later, he pulled into this area and my daughter's like, pull over with him. Go talk to him. She was doing road rage. So I pulled in and I thought for a second, I thought, no, this is going to end poorly. And I pulled back out because he was not, in a mood to listen. He was probably already getting a lesson from his girlfriend. It wasn't me. I didn't need to add. So we can become different people. I want to talk in Genesis. So turn your Bibles to Genesis 2. I want to use a bit of a painting color wheel analogy as my daughter was painting last night. And I have to also admit this is not my full analogy. I kind of half stole this. So we know the story that God created Adam and Eve and planted the garden and placed them in the garden. This beautiful atmosphere, and I want to try to describe this atmosphere because we really need to be aware before we move on that this atmosphere was the most incredible place for them to commune with God. Every morning waking up, every evening, that it says later on in the cool of the day, they heard him walking. Can you imagine what that was like to hear the footsteps of the Father? Incredible. They walked and talked with God. It was a beautiful garden to begin with. It was just this place of incredible freedom. Incredible freedom. I want you to look at it. It says, chapter 2, verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Two things happened there I want you to be aware of. In that moment, he literally takes the dust of the earth. He takes the very thing that he formed. And what I love about it is that he is picking something up. I love the fact that in all the other places, he says and it happens. He speaks and light happens. He speaks and animals are created. He speaks. But for man, he literally gets down on his knees, picks us up out of the dust. Doesn't that talk about a caring, loving God? It's so personal that we have God's literal fingertips in us, which is incredible. And then he does something else. He leans a little lower and he breathes the breath of life into us, or Adam and Eve, and Adam takes his first breath. So I want you to remember that they have clay or dust that he takes and he has the breath of heaven and breathes it into them, and Adam comes alive. God places Adam, puts him in the garden to tend and to keep, and this beautiful relationship happens. We also know that he then also takes a rib out of his side and creates Eve. And they are there together. I'm not looking at all the scriptures for time. Another thing I want you to understand is one of the things that God does is he brings all the animals in front of Adam and he says, "I want you to name them." I always laugh because I think of the big names of animals like the dinosaurs, Tyrannosaurus Rex, and all these different things. And I think of names like ox. You know, I think he was getting towards the end when he was naming dog, cat, ox. But you need to realize the capacity of wisdom and revelation that Adam needed in that moment to be able to name every animal was incredible, right? He needed this exhaustive resource of wisdom and revelation to every animal that came. He knew what to call them, to even kind of declare with a name what they would be like. That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. I want you to remember, too, if you've read the story, you know that God places them in the garden, and there's a ton of trees. They're all good for fruit. And he says the tree of life was in the midst of the garden. And then he says the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is in the garden. But eat the tree of life, you are not allowed to eat. One tree, one thing you cannot do. One thing. Adam, Eve, one thing. Like, for Pete's sake, one thing. We're all guilty of it, right? Hey, I just baked those cookies. They're hot. Don't eat them. Just one thing. You're not supposed to do one thing. And then you just like, every time you walk by those cookies, you're like, oh my gosh, no. One thing. Take one bite of Doritos. You eat the whole bag. It's just what happens. So he says not to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What I want you to look at, and I'm going to tell you a phrase that came to mind the other day, is what got me started a little bit down this path. You know, in the days that Jesus was around, in the law all the way up to that, when you did something wrong that was in the law that had the right for death, they would stone you. That's the culture that was around when Jesus was alive. You do something wrong, if the law says death, they would stone you. And I pondered that for a bit because what came to mind, I thought, you know, it's interesting. We don't stone people anymore. That's something that's barbaric. Like, we don't stone you and cause death. But what came to mind is the fact that we don't stone you, but boy, we will ridicule you, mock you, and cancel you so your life and career could be over. My brother and I, yesterday, we were driving and we were talking about the lengths that people must go to nowadays because there's such a fear in the world that if it looks wrong, if it appears wrong, or even if somebody speaks something against me, my life could be over in a second. He was talking about the fact that he was traveling and at one point they needed to go back, but it was him and somebody else that they know very well, but it was a girl and she needed to get back. And he's thinking in his heart, man, I should walk her back. It's only like not even half a kilometer, but there are all the optics of going, but if I walk her back, you know, what are people going to think? What could be said? I'm like, man, you want to do something nice, but it's so crazy now, right? You have people that make a mistake. So we don't throw rocks to kill them, but we throw so many insults and judgments their way that we literally cancel careers, cancel culture. I thought, Lord, where is this coming from? And I would love to tell you it's the world, but Christians take no part in it. I'd actually like to tell you that Christians are mostly leading the way often in this. And it destroys and breaks my heart. I would love to tell you that it's so isolated that it's like, you know, wouldn't you love it that it's so clear cut, Christians and non-Christians, but it's happening. So I began to ponder, and as I began to ponder, the Lord took me back yet again to hear and some resources that God just blessed me, a book that ended up literally being mailed to me and opening my eyes to things. We often forget they were partaking of the tree of life, but God says, do not partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Isn't it interesting that in that tree of, you think, well, of course, I don't want my eyes open to evil, but it's interesting, isn't it, that tree is actually open to the knowledge of good and evil. You would think, well, what's wrong with that? Why can't my eyes be open to good? It's good and evil. And yet when they partook, I want to show you something. Turn to Genesis 3. Let's look at verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, because he's crafty and he's trying to get in here and get her to do this. For God knows that in that day you eat, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. It says that the fruit caused wisdom. But you find it interesting that he just named every animal on earth. What wisdom could he possibly be talking about? Because that was not something that was needed. But it says that their eyes were opened. So I want to propose to you something. Before they ate of that tree, everything that they partook of was out of their heart and not their minds. Doesn't mean their minds were not active, because he obviously was using wisdom and revelation. But everything that he was doing was from the heart. Man, they were running around, and I'm going to show you in a second. Tim Sweeney, you're here. I will never forget when I had your wife come up. Do you remember this? And I was talking about the garden, and she was acting it out, and I said, and they were both naked. She was like doing her thing, and they were both naked. She went, oh, and they were not ashamed. She went, oh. It was so, I couldn't have trained her any better to do what she did. It was so perfect. It says that they were naked and unashamed. There was complete freedom. They were connected so intimately with their hearts. And they were passionately in love. They were in love with the Father, and they were in love with each other, and everything came from the heart. And then the temptation comes to eat the tree that they don't even need, and it says, you will be wise. They're already wiser than they could ever be. They're already like God because they're created in the image of God. What are they missing? Nothing. But in that minute, they get tempted. She gets tempted, he gets tempted, and they eat of it, and it says their eyes were opened. Well, their eyes were already open, so it can't be their physical eyes. but it's their eyes to see for the first time good and evil, and they had never experienced that before. The weight of knowing what God knows in good and evil. And what's interesting is in that minute, they realize they're naked and they're ashamed. They move from their heart and they start thinking with their mind. And what's crazy is you will see all these things begin to unfold. They're ashamed. All of a sudden, comparison kicks in. All of a sudden, they're afraid, and they begin to, it says they hide within the good trees. I think that's amazing. The very thing that was good, now they're hiding from God, and they don't want to see God. They're afraid when they hear his voice. All the things that they had never experienced before. And here's the crazy thing. God dies so we can get back to this place, and yet those are all the very things that are plagued, we are plagued with today. Turn for a second, keep your hands there, and turn to James. Is this still making sense? Because I'm trying to do it without reading a lot of scripture. Nobody's saying anything? Is it good? Okay, James 3, verse 13. Let me show you what it looks like. Verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Wise and understanding, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom." But listen to this. We've read this before last summer. "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic." What are we talking about? That is the knowledge of good and evil. That is eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's earthly and it's demonic. "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, withhold partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." I've come to realize that when Jesus died on the cross, he opened up an opportunity just like salvation to us. It's a choice. I'm kind of amazed sometimes that I realize that in the garden, right from the get-go, we had a choice. Sometimes I'm like, could you just not have had the choice in there? Like, take the choice away. But what does that make? Robots? Man, I'm so glad that when I asked my wife to marry me, she wasn't forced into it. She had to make a choice. Do I choose to love him forever? That's what God wants. In the garden, will you love me? Will you love me? And we think with our, I'm gonna start saying things like, we think with our knowledge of good and evil mind often, we think, well, he's controlling. That's because we think with our knowledge of good and evil and not our hearts. Because when I ask my wife to marry me, I don't go, hey, it's okay to sleep with other people. No, I'm like, no, you're mine if you make this choice. I want you to be mine. That's not controlling, is it? No, it's called relationship. I want you to be mine and mine alone. That's what God's asking of us. Man, I want you to be mine and mine alone. I don't want you to eat of anything else. Just eat from the tree of life. So I realized when Jesus died on the cross, he died to set us free, not just for salvation, for eternal life. He actually died so we could stop eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But I realized today our world is based on the knowledge of good and evil. Now, please hear me. I'm not talking that we should not have an understanding of sin. But most of our life, if you look at it, we spend our life looking at what is right and wrong, good and evil. And we make judgments every day by it. It's simple things, you know, and you may think this is silly, but somebody comes out in an outfit and you're like, oh, that doesn't work. That's not right. Right? Well, you think, you get down to it. It's like, these are clothes that clothe my body. It's right. We're like, no, that's not right. That doesn't match. Now, am I saying that is, I'm just trying to be a little silly, yet I'm not at the same time. Because everything, she's like, but everything that we grow up in, we begin to look at, that's right, that's wrong. He did this, he did that. And our whole world is based on the knowledge of good and evil. It's culminated to the point in Christianity where we are looking at every person and deciding, judging what we think is right and wrong in their life. It's true. And yet, I'm going to share a story in a minute. Jesus functions out of such a different way. And if you don't think you do it, I am so thankful, but I know I do. Because I've been watching my thoughts as I begin to go. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I internally judge without even knowing. It's so easy to make a judgment call. I just recently did it. I wanted to understand all the reasons why somebody made a decision. My mind kept going back to why would they make a decision? And God said, why does it matter? Your heart should be mercy and grace right now for this person. But I want to understand. I want to conclude whether they made the right choice or not. He's like, it doesn't matter at this point. Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. You guys following me? Let me give it to you in a little bit of an analogy here with colors. I stole my daughter's palette. She was having to make colors. So I want you to think for a second. Hope I'm not rushing this too much and it makes sense. I want you to think for a second. When God bowed low to take the earth, he picks up the color yellow. The color yellow of dust, he picks it up and he's like, I'm gonna make something. So he's got this color yellow in his hand of humanity. It's not fully of life yet. And he breathes in. And I want you to imagine that heaven is blue. And as he breathes in the breath of life, he breathes in heaven and blue merges with earth. And we all know what blue and yellow make, right? We make green. This beautiful combination, because the Bible clearly states he's grabbing from the soil. He wants people to know that you are from the ground, but I want you to know you don't come to life unless you have the breath of heaven. And this beautiful things happen. And so I want you to imagine everybody, Adam and Eve, are walking around the garden and they're totally green. They are green people. We're Martians. Just for this analogy, we're green. They are green because they have the heaven breath and they have earth and they're green. They look green. They don't, but you understand it's an analogy, right? You're all like, pastor's gone off the deep end. He thinks it we're green. No, this is an analogy. They're green and they're walking around the garden and they are free as can be. They are naked. They're not ashamed. There's no fear. They talk with God. There is no comparison. They're naming animals. There's no concept of evil in their minds. This is crazy. No concept of evil. No concept of evil. And they're completely green. The moment that they get tricked, they get deceived. There's something inside of them that the enemy triggers and latches onto, and they begin to go, well, wait a minute. Maybe God is withholding something from me. Maybe there's something more. And they partake. It says that their eyes were opened. And it's interesting. Their eyes were open, like I said, to good and evil. And here's the terrible, tragic thing. That in that moment, the connection, which really wasn't lost, but it was lost because they distanced themselves from God. And in that moment, the heaven, the life connection that they had with heaven every day of communion began to fade. And when it began to fade and they began to only look through eyes that could see good and evil, what happened? They began to turn the color of humanity, which was just yellow. Lelo, yellow. So here's what's interesting. The first thing that they do is what? They go grab fig leaves. What color are fig leaves? Green. The first thing that they do is they try to take something that is superficial and put it on themselves and cover themselves with what they used to know. Because they used to know green and now they're not green. It just, I know it's an analogy, it doesn't make sense. But for the rest of, until Jesus dies on the cross and moving forward, we have been trying to cover ourselves without communion with the Holy Spirit. We've been trying to cover ourselves to get back to what we originally were, without knowing that it's actually for us in our generation, in our life, because we are post-cross, it's right there and we have access to it. We have access to it every day. The problem is we have learned growing up that religion is easier. Doing the law is easier. Doing right and wrong, because that's all I've ever known is right and wrong, is easier. It's just easy. Give me a list and tell me what to do, and I can do that. Is it easier for people, right? You get to your job, like, tell me the 20 things that I need to do. Don't give me freedom. Just tell me the 20 things I need to do, because freedom just messes me up. And God's like, no, I want to give you absolute freedom, but you have to commune with me. I feel like I'm rushing this, and hopefully you'll get it, but I want to take you down a story. They get kicked out of the garden, and you need to realize from the moment they're kicked out of the garden, not just until the moment Jesus comes, even till now, we have been living with the opportunity to either eat the tree of life every day or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there are so many people that are constantly scouring to know good and evil. We are a society obsessed with information to understand good and evil. You guys awake? Come on, look at COVID. We wanted to know every answer possible any minute of the day. Rod was telling me his doctor has a sign, something like, you walk into the office, and this is what people are doing now. Please don't tell me your Google MD is worth more than my, you know, 12 years of university. Because people are so frustrated. You have doctors that study for 12 years and somebody goes on for 5 seconds and types Google and goes, see, my doctor's wrong. Right? We are obsessed with knowledge. We are obsessed with trying to understand what we think people should be doing. We read about somebody's fall. I saw this recently. Somebody falls and they put a Facebook post and it said, the kingdoms are falling. Because this was a Christian, well-known person. And the response was, I knew it, the kingdoms are falling. I thought, where's our heart? That all we can see is, I was right, I knew that they would fall. Turn your Bibles, I want you to read this. I'm on a journey, folks. I'm asking the Lord, Lord, I realized that my eyes were opened. Actually, before I go there, turn to Ephesians. And then we're going to Proverbs. Ephesians. Do you think it's a coincidence that Paul is about to say a prayer? Because remember, in the garden, they lost the heaven. They lost the breath. They lost the connection. Their eyes were open to only think good and evil. Their heart was beginning to be closed. And it's interesting. And you will see Jeremiah 31:3. I'm going to give you a new covenant, and I'm going to place it upon your hearts. Throughout Scripture, you'll see over and over again, they start referring to a day when it won't be on your mind. You won't have to put everything in your mind. It will be written on your hearts. And what does Paul write in Ephesians 1, verse 17? That the Lord of our Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That your eyes of your understanding, and it's interesting, there's another translation that says the eyes of your heart that may give, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory and the inheritance of his saints. What is he praying? Right there, he's praying, Lord, their eyes of their understanding was open, the knowledge of good and evil, I am praying that that will be shut down and the eyes of their heart will begin to be opened. That's what he's praying, because it needs to be flipped. And Paul's entire ministry was walking around going, your hearts need to be open. Your heart that was stone need to be set free. Let me try to help you understand this if it doesn't make sense. Pharisees and the Sadducees walked around. They knew the law inside out. They knew the knowledge of good and evil inside and out. They studied it. They memorized it. They tried to walk in it. Most of the time, it was all fake. They tried to catch Jesus all the time. They looked like the best of the best. They dressed the best. They had it all down. I told this story a while back. Simon invites Jesus to come to his house, and he's sitting with the big wigs. He's sitting with all the important people, who, by the way, he never chose to become disciples. But anyway, that's another thing. He's sitting with them. They're having dinner. And as they're having dinner and they're showing how good they are, the knowledge of good and evil, they know how good they are, they have studied the law, this woman by the name of Mary comes in. Who is she? What's her occupation? Anybody know? She's a prostitute. Turn to Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs 7. So interesting. Proverbs 7. If I can find it myself. Proverbs 7, verse 6 talks about the crafty harlot. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and I saw among the simple. I perceived among the youth a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the streets near her corner, and he took the path to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black, in the dark night, and there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. The attire of a harlot is often that beautiful dress. Their hair is done up. They go into greater detail other places. She was so loud and rebellious, her feet would not stay at home. At times, she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. Listen, she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. And then it basically goes on, let's go on and have love all night, basically. I want you to see a couple things. She was dressed like a harlot. She caught him with kisses. And what'd she do to her bed? She put perfume all over it. In the story with Simon, we don't have time to go there because I'm trying to wrap it up. And Mary comes in. It says clearly in Luke that everybody, all the good people with the knowledge of good and evil, all knew her occupation. Why do they all know her occupation? Like, seriously, those are little things you go, why does everybody know this woman? Now, it could be that she was out there on the corner. May not be. She comes in, and the story goes that she begins to weep at the feet of Jesus. And it's so interesting that they say she takes her hair and her tears, she kisses his feet, and she puts perfume on her. I never realized this until recently, but those are the gifts of her trade as a prostitute. Kisses, the beautiful hair, and the fragrance. I often thought, man, she had this fragrance at home. You know, it was so much money. Why? No, she actually had that fragrance because she was a prostitute and would use that to make the appearance and the smell so people would come in and want to have sex. So why am I saying this? Because when we eat from the knowledge of good and evil, we only see what that woman is. We see that she's a harlot. We see that they're actually at one point, they're like, Jesus is a prophet. Let's see if he can figure out what she's trying to do. And he's like, yeah, I'm a prophet. I can figure out your heart and what you're trying to say. So the knowledge of good and evil would say, I know what you do. This is Instagram right now. I know what you do. I saw you fall. We knew it all along. We knew why you were popular. We knew why you had such a big church. We knew why you were sinning. This is what's going on. And you could take it to a smaller thing, you know. You're such a jerk. I knew you didn't have Christ in you when you cut me off. Judge, 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 judge. So we're eating of this knowledge and we're trying to constantly discern right from wrong. And yet it's interesting that Jesus is not looking at that at all. By the way, they were supposed to flee from harlots. So right at that moment, they are supposed to be like, nope, she's not allowed in here. Get out. And he's like, whoa, whoa, let her come in. And she uses the only thing that she has to pour her life at the feet of Jesus. And instead of reacting with the knowledge of good and evil, because he does not have that, he has communion with the Father. And he is simply going, Lord, what is going on here? And he clearly understands that she is repenting before him and also getting her body, his body ready for burial with the perfume. He doesn't look to see what she is. He looks to see what is happening. And I keep going back to so many times I have looked with the knowledge of good and evil with what I see instead of stopping and eating from the tree of life and going, Lord, what are you doing right now and what are you seeing? I'll tell you, there are times when there are times to flee. This is a moment when he had to have such discernment. He did not have to have wisdom of the earth. He had to have revelation from heaven. What is going on in this moment? Because I'm sure that there are other moments where he's like, nope, we're taking a right turn today because we don't want to go down that alley. Because it is not good. But what we do often as Christians is we want to make a rule and go, that alley is wrong and everybody that's in it is evil. Instead of going, this is what the Lord's teaching me. There are evil things happening, but what is behind some of the pain? I have a situation that, as a family, different things going on and we're dealing with, and it's not my direct family, but it is so easy in this situation to look and see the person's actions and to look and go, oh my God, disgusting. What are they doing? Blah, blah, blah. Good and evil, good and evil. We're seeing evil, we're seeing evil. But what I'm trying to do is, Lord, feed me with your life. And we'll go into what that looks like and how we get there another day. But it's like, Lord, I don't want to be functioning out of just my yellow nature, which is just humanity, which we read in James. If we only have that wisdom, it is demonic and sensual, and we will make mistakes with our calls every time. We so often function out of that realm. And I'm like, Lord, what does it look like to eat your realm from heaven? I want to have the nature of God. I want to be his new creation. Now, we get to know Jesus and we accept him. We become a new creation. But I'll tell you, our thoughts have to be transformed. And in the situation I'm looking at, I'm like, Lord, I see what's going on. I can see the bad choices. I can see the evil. But I'm like, Lord, show me why. What is behind it? What's the pain? Why are they making those choices? Because, Lord, you want to get in there and you want to heal that moment. They don't want to be told what they're doing wrong yet again and how bad they are. I believe every person that is royally messing up, there's a scream inside of them going, help. Not everybody chooses to take help, but I believe everybody deep down inside often wants help. It's our choice. So in this situation, I'm saying, Lord, show me the pain behind the poor choices. I've been reading this book by Bob Goff. It's a devotional. It's so amazing. This guy thinks so out of the law of love. I've never experienced it before. And it must be a recent book because he's talking about social media. And he does this. I have read many people that say, no, this is true. He actually does this. So when he's on social media and he finds somebody that is being ridiculed, being totally ripped apart, he finds out their address. And he sends them a cake pop and says, just want you to know, I love you, bless you. I don't even know you, but I'm praying for you. He says, why would I do that? He says, they don't need somebody else to criticize them. They need somebody to show them a bit of love. I thought, my gosh, that is simple. Every moment, even right now, people are like, if I could text about Jay in this sermon. Oh, so weird. But every day, every moment, people are ready to cast judgment and cast opinion, cast why they think they're right and that person's wrong, why they think they know more. It is happening on a regular basis. And I take you back to James that says, that is sensual, demonic wisdom. Why? Well, I'm going to go back to it. Why is it sensual demonic wisdom? Because it says the fruit from that causes strife. It causes, I'll put pain. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not send from above, but it is earthly. It is yellow. It is sensual and demonic. It is not blue from heaven. For where envy, because listen, if you are ready to comment about somebody else's misery, that is envy. Do you realize that? It's envy because at some point you were jealous of them. I know these are strong words, but I'm speaking this to myself. I was jealous of them and I wanted to tear them down to bring them back to size. That's called envy. Self-seeking, so for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. See, we got to become people that begin to discern, is this wisdom that's yellow from the earth, or is this wisdom from God? And you quickly find out if it's wisdom from God, if it meets these parameters, is it full of purity? Is it peace? Is it gentle? Is it willing to yield? Is it full of mercy and good fruits? So I'll take you back to that example. In the situation where I wanted to understand how this person got into the situation, I was using the tree, the knowledge of good and evil, which is actually demonic, sensual, earthly wisdom, because I wanted to find out why that person made such a mistake. How could they do that? Well, wisdom from heaven is mercy, peace, pure, gentle. So even today, as I sat worshiping, I thought, Lord, I want to eat from the tree of life. I don't want to eat from that tree. I don't want to worship you in this beautiful moment and eat from a tree that is so not of you, that continually makes me look yellow again instead of this beautiful green that we're supposed to be, which is heaven and earth combined. As I began to stop thinking about how this person got there, I began to say, Lord, what do you want to do in this situation? What is the answer in this situation? And I felt like the Lord began to give me keys. I can't help that person with the decision that they made. By me trying to figure out how stupid maybe that decision was, or how, you know, why they shouldn't have done it, it's irrelevant at this point. He's like, step into the tree of life and find peace, find love. That's what I want to give this person. Do you understand? Jesus was not looking with the eyes of the earth. He was not eating out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was eating out of his Father's love. And when he saw the prostitute who everybody else wanted to cast away, he did not see her issues. He knew her issues. He did not have to see them and then cast her out. He knew what she came to do. She came to repent and use the only thing that she knew, and cried on his feet, washed his feet with her hair, and gave the only thing that she had in life, which was the tool of her trade, which is with a perfume to anoint him. And the Pharisees that studied and knew right and wrong, and they had it down pat, couldn't see anything that was happening. And I don't want to be those people. I don't want to be the people that don't see what God's trying to do in people's lives because we're thinking we're above. Well, only if they didn't do that. There was a time I used to do that, but now I'm above. I don't do that anymore. Well, you did at one point. Why aren't you doing it anymore? Because the grace of God has come in and begun to transform your life. You're not better. You're just transformed a little more. What did we start with? You're in process. And why don't you stand? Did you follow that, guys? I'm not trying to just, I am curious to see how well that came across because I had way longer, more notes. If you leave with nothing else, church, we are no different. In the Old Testament, the tree of life had not yet come, and we'll talk about that another day. The tree of life is Jesus. Jesus did not come for thousands of years, so they were trying to find religion to cover their sins constantly, and God made a way. We don't live in that day anymore, but what I'm afraid is that we still often try to cover with righteousness that is not even righteous. We try to make ourselves look good, and we try to, you know, we talked about that the other day. We try to have a big followings, and God's like, just follow me and do every day what I'm doing. And one day that could be a cake pop in the mail to somebody that just got destroyed on the internet. And it could be that cake pop that you send. You could have the answer and you know it's right. But that's not what they need. They need that moment somebody to say, hey, I love you. I love you and I'm praying for you. I know you're going through a tough time. Oh, don't you know? I just want, I love you and I'm praying for you. I just want to close with Ephesians. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Man, I'll tell you, we need to pray that and we need to do communion. But I do want to tie it in. Because by the way, you can get it open. When you take of this, I'm so thankful that our foundation of our church has an understanding. But listen, when you partake of this, you are partaking of Jesus and life. You are saying, Lord, I'm partaking of you. And we're going to pray about the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's what I'm asking for when I'm taking this today. Lord, I pray that as I partake of you, I need desperately the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I don't need more knowledge of good and evil. I don't need more judgment over people. I need love in the form of life, in the form of Jesus Christ. Did you get that? I need love in the form of life in the name of Jesus, because Jesus is life and Jesus is love. So Lord, we ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, I ask, Father God, that, Lord, we would stop eating from the tree of trying to discern right and wrong in people. We'd eat from the tree of life to say, Lord, how do I bring life to people? Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.